Gospel of Luke chapter 22. And our text is made up of two verses. Verses 31 and 32. We come now to message number 12 in our study in the prayer life of Christ. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We have just read the words, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We learn from this statement what a fearful enemy the devil is to God's people. The name Satan means adversary or an opposing spirit. We're given an example of his opposition with regard to the people of God. And we read in the word of the Lord that when Joshua was ministering at the altar, that Satan came and stood at his right hand to resist him. To resist him. Paul, in writing also to the church at Thessalonica, said that he often had planned to come and visit the believers there. But then he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, but Satan resisted us. The devil is the opposing spirit. He opposes and he resists and he stands against the people of God and the work of God. He is rightly called the wicked one. For wickedness is his stock and trade. He is described by the Lord as the prince of the world. And this world is his domain. As we read in the book of Job, when the Lord challenged Satan, whence comest thou, the Lord said? Satan said, from going to and fro in the earth, and wandering up and down in it. And he leaves his footprint of evil behind him wherever he goes. Every evil deed that this earth has witnessed, Satan is the author of it. Every drop of innocent blood that has ever been shed, Satan had a hand in it. Because the Savior said of Satan, he is a murderer from the beginning. Every vile, foul, blasphemous word that ever came from the lips of man originated in the mouth of Satan. For John wrote these words about Satan, and he openeth his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. Revelation 13 verse 6. Every lying word, every lying story ever told by man was first of all forged on the anvils of hell, and Satan being the one who fashioned them. For the Savior, when he spoke about the devil, said this: when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And now here in our text, we see that this wicked, lying, murderous spirit, this prince of evil, sought the downfall and destruction of one of the Lord's own servants. We would all do well to pay attention to Satan's intended sifting of Simon. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary in Luke's Gospel, and commenting on this particular incident, wrote these words: the personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. I'll read those words again. The personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. And then he goes on to say, quote, the world is a snare to the believer. The flesh is a burden and a clog. But there is no enemy so dangerous as that restless, invisible, experienced enemy, the devil. J.C. Ryle is addressing believers in these comments. And he is telling us that there is no enemy so dangerous as that restless, invisible, experienced enemy, the devil. No wonder then that Peter, who experienced this confrontation, this sifting by Satan, later wrote in his first epistle these words: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we see here in our text for this morning that Peter discovered firsthand the devouring spirit of the adversary, the devil. And had it not been for the prayers of Christ, mark this, had it not been for the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Simon Peter would have fallen prey to Satan, fallen, never to rise again. If it were not for the prayers of the ministry of Christ, dear Christian, where would any of us be today? And we ought to give thanks to the Lord for many, many things. But I tell you this, we ought to thank the Lord for praying for us. Because if it were not for the prayers of Christ, Satan would destroy us. No, he can't have our soul. He can't take our soul to hell, but he can destroy us in other ways. And it is only the prayers of Jesus Christ that stay the hand of Satan. And we shall see that when we consider the sifting, Satan's sifting of Simon. I want to deal this morning with Satan's plan. Tonight we will look at the Savior's prayers. That's why I said tonight's message is the better part when we consider the prayers of Christ. Satan's plan. Gathered with his disciples, where he had the Passover and instituted the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus makes a startling announcement. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here the Savior reveals to this disciple Satan's plan for him. And what we notice here, first of all, is the ignorance of Simon. The ignorance of Simon Peter. You see, the words spoken to Simon Peter by the Lord Jesus indicate that this disciple did not know anything about the plan that Satan had concocted for him. The Lord Jesus reveals Satan's plan for Simon Peter. Simon Peter didn't know anything about it. If you think of the flock of sheep in the field, and they're grazing somewhere beside a wood. And in that wood, or in that forest, there are a number of wolves. And they're standing there just at the edge of the forest. And there's the sheep, and they're grazing away, and they don't know a thing about the wolves that are ready to tear them. Simon Peter was one of the Lord's sheep. One of the Lord's choice servants. But all the while, Simon had no idea about Satan and the plan that Satan had for this man. Here is a glimpse into the underworld that maybe we don't think about. Here is the Lord drawing back the veil, if you like, and giving us a look out into the kingdom of darkness where Satan reigns. Satan and his minions were plotting and planning the downfall of one of the Lord's choice servants. And Simon was ignorant of the evil scheming of the wicked one. The Lord told them, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord could have said, Simon, do you know anything about that? And Simon would have to plead ignorant. Just as you and I, dear Christian, just as you and I are ignorant of the plans and the purposes that Satan has concocted for you and me. We are ignorant of his precise whereabouts. Where or when he will attack us. He will stalk us, endeavor to snare us, and if at all possible, slay us. And how frightening this is, dear believer. It's bad enough whenever you face an enemy that you can see, that you can identify the enemy and you say, there he is there. But it's a frightening thing whenever you have an enemy whom you can't see. For you don't know where he is. It is unnerving. It is unnerving when we know there is an enemy out there that we can't see. An enemy. An invisible spirit that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to bother with the ungodly. He already has them in his power and under his influence. He's after the Christian. He's the roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And believer, if the devil had half a chance, he would devour every one of us. We ought to thank God for the prayers of Christ. For it is the prayers of the Savior that keeps the devil at bay. And spares us from being devoured. We're vulnerable sheep, never knowing where that roaring lion will strike us. This would surely encourage us, believer. As the Lord's sheep, would it not encourage us to make sure we stay near the shepherd? Because the sheep that are the furthest from the shepherd are the most vulnerable and will be easily overtaken. We need to stay near the shepherd. Christ is our good shepherd. We need to stay by him. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior. So precious thou art. I want you to notice in the second place, not only the ignorance of Simon, he didn't know anything about Satan's plan. We notice then the instructing of Simon. Simon was ignorant about the plan of Satan that involved him, then the Lord was about to instruct him. This he did by saying, first of all, Simon, Simon, behold. Now our teachers here this morning know full well that if a student is not listening to what the teacher is saying, that student is not going to learn anything. I remember when I was at school, we went to a brand new high school. Workmen were still working on the school when the school opened. And I remember one thing they had in the classrooms were quite large windows. And every now and again you would sort of tune out to what the teacher was saying. And you'd watch the workmen outside and watch what they were doing. Now you weren't learning anything when we were doing that, looking out the window. We were not paying attention to the instruction we were receiving. And it seemed to be a daily occurrence whenever the teacher would have to call some of us to pay attention. Forget about what's outside. Listen to what you're being taught. And the Lord said to this disciple, Simon, Simon, behold. In other words, the Lord is saying, Simon, I want you to listen to what I have to say. I want you to give attention. And the shepherd wanted this particular member of his flock to give heed to what he was about to say. Because what the Lord had to say involved him, involved Simon. And what the Lord was about to say was for Simon's benefit. Simon, Simon, behold. The Lord called his name twice. He could not afford to be distracted or dull of hearing. So the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Behold, it's as if he's saying, look this way. Listen to what I have to say. Martha was distracted. That day that the Lord came into that home in Bethany, Mary and Martha had labored together to serve the Master, and then Mary left the side of Martha and went to the feet of Christ. Martha went on serving. And then Martha said those terrible words, Master, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? The Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, called her name twice. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Your sister Mary has chosen the better part. You see, the Lord had to call Martha's name twice to get her attention. And when the Lord speaks once, yea, twice, it is for our benefit and to our benefit to give attention. And here was a word for Simon, and here is a word for us. Yea, for every believer. You see, dear Christians, Satan plans to sift the people of God. He seeks our destruction, he seeks our downfall. And you think of the many Christians that have succumbed to the ways of the devil and they're destroyed today. Their witness and their testimonies are destroyed. And that's the business of the devil. That's what he's about. And listen, he has a plan for every one of us. We're not exempt. He'll not overlook us. The devil has a plan for us all. He plans to sift the people of God as wheat. It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time before he comes, as it were, to our name on his list of evil intentions. Remember again what J.C. Ryle said, there is no enemy so dangerous as that restless, invisible, experienced enemy, the devil. No enemy is dangerous. No enemy as dangerous. And would this not teach us then to take heed to the words of the man, the very man whom Satan sifted and sought to destroy. When Peter wrote the words, he was speaking from experience. And you give particular heed to the man that speaks from experience, don't you? Once again, we repeat them. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the opposing spirit, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. So we have the ignorance of Simon. He didn't know anything about this plan of Satan. Then we have the instructing of Simon. The Lord called out, Simon, Simon, behold. Then we have the informing of Simon. The Lord, upon getting Simon's attention, informed him, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You'll notice the words to have are in italics. I mean the translators have put those words in there to help give sense to the verse. They're not in the original. Satan hath desired you. Seems to add more force to it, does it not? He desires you. He's targeting you, Simon. Simon, or Satan hath desired you. The word desired is an interesting word. The word desired there means demanded. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath demanded you. You see, the devil demanded to have Simon. And here is something else that goes behind the text, behind the scenes, that maybe we never think about. Here is the devil, here is Satan coming before the Lord and demanding of the Lord that he have Simon. See, we have been rescued, dear Christian, by grace. We've been rescued by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ, out of the clutches of Satan. He no longer owns us. Hallelujah. He no longer owns us, but it is evident that the devil demands our return. He wants us back again. This, of course, will never happen because we're under the blood. We've received eternal life. And we're held in the hand of omnipotence. Praise the Lord. The devil may be powerful, and he is, but glory to God, he's not all powerful. Our God is all powerful. And we're held in the hand of the Son, and we're held in the hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. In other words, he's our deposit from heaven. We'll be there all right. But the devil will do everything in his power to hinder us on the way. And if he cannot have us return to him, his plan is to make life as miserable as possible. To make it as miserable as possible for the Christian. Do we need to turn to the book of Job? Here's this very truth set out for us. That the devil wants us back. And if he can't have us back, he'll set his sights on us to destroy us in some other way. In Job chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, and just in passing. Don't ever talk to the devil. It's not our business to get into conversation, as it were, with Satan. Leave that to the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. It's not our business to rebuke the devil either. That's the Lord's business. There's nowhere in Scripture where the Christian is exhorted to rebuke the devil. The Lord does it. We mentioned there in our opening remarks about Joshua standing at the altar and sitting at his right hand to resist him. Joshua didn't rebuke the devil. The Lord did. When the devil tried to influence Peter, Peter didn't rebuke the devil. The Lord did. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And here's the Lord, verse 2 of Job 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. In verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Satan could only go so far. But there you have Satan coming, demanding Job. And the Lord said, he's in thy power, but spare his life. And of course, we know how the devil did his worst against Job. Would any of us here today like to go through what Job went through? None of us would like to have to go to the grave somewhere and dig a grave for every one of our children. That's what Job had to do. Can you imagine the task of a father having to dig 10 graves and bury his 10 children? And then lose everything he had. And then had his wife say to him, curse God and die. And the devil wasn't even finished with him then when he smote Job, covered him in boils. And when his friends came to visit him, they hardly recognized him. And they sat there in silence. That's what the devil did to Job. And I'll tell you this, the devil will do the same thing to us if it were not for the prayers of Christ. But I have prayed for thee. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, Simon. And believer, you can substitute your name where Simon's name is and read on, but I have prayed for thee. Praise the Lord. This arrogant, aggressive, ambitious adversary will never leave us alone until we cross over Jordan. After the 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness, We read these words. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. And the good of the verse ended there. That would be good. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. But it doesn't end there. For it says he departed from him for a season. For a season. Just for a season. He'd be back again. Like the wolf returning to that field where the sheep or the lambs are found. He'll take a lamb or a sheep and tear it, but he'll be back again. He's relentless in his pursuit of the Christian, demanding that the Lord allow him to wreak havoc in his life. The Lord said no. The Lord's prayer said no. And the Lord said to Simon, Satan hath desired, he has demanded to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may tear you and destroy you. But Simon, I want you to know something. I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for thee. And then finally you have the intentions of Simon. Or the intentions for Simon. What were Satan's intentions? What did he intend to do to Simon? Satan hath desired to have you, Simon, that he may sift you as wheat. What did the Lord really mean here about Satan's intentions? The word sift, as you can imagine, means to shake. You think of the gardener, and there he has his sieve, and he puts the soil in it, and he shakes it. And then throws away what's left, usually the stones. And he has nice, fine soil in which to plant his bulbs. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you or shake. That's what Satan intended to do with Simon. And here the Lord reveals the evil intentions of the wicked one to shake Simon. And indeed that's what he's about. His intention is evil and wicked. Intention is to shake every Christian to their very foundation. His intention is to buffet and to bruise and to batter and to beat down the Christian. His intention is to shake our trust, our belief, our faith, our confidence in God. You think of it. You think of it that if the devil can shake our trust in the Lord, he has us. If he can shake our faith in God, he has us. If he can shake our confidence in God, he has gained the victory. His intention is to shake our belief in prayer. You know what it's like when the answer doesn't come. When you pray for something specifically and there's no answer, the devil is at your right hand to resist you. The devil is there to tell you God doesn't answer your prayers. He's laughing at us. God doesn't answer prayer. What are you praying for? And if you give him half a minute to think about that, you'd be ready to agree. No, the Lord doesn't answer prayer. So what's the point in praying? His intention is to shake our trust in God. When things happen that we don't understand. I don't believe in crying out when things happen that we don't understand. People cry and say, what is God doing? I don't believe we should address the Lord like that. God knows what he's doing. Just leave it all with him. He knows what he's doing. We don't need to question him and say, what doest thou? But some have their trust shaken by the devil when things happen that they don't understand. His intention is to shake our confidence in God. When circumstances seem to run against us, we seem to lose our confidence. And the devil will tell us, well, if you can't trust God, then who can you trust? That's his plan. J.C. Ryle said he was the most dangerous enemy we have. His intention is to shake our faith when it appears that God has forgotten to be gracious. I think, believer, we should really give attention to this matter. Give attention to what the Bible is teaching us today about our enemy. Know your enemy. And our enemy has a plan for us, for you and for me. And that plan is to drag us down. And if he can, to destroy our witness and destroy our testimony. And to do whatever he can to destroy us. That's his plan. Is it not clear from this text this morning? Saint Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired, has demanded to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That he may shake you. And the many believers have fallen by the wayside because the devil has indeed succeeded in shaking their belief or their trust and their faith. He wanted to do this with Simon. The Lord said, Simon, I want you to know I prayed for you. Those wonderful words. But I have prayed for you. He may shake our faith. But hallelujah, he'll not destroy our faith. Why? Because the Savior is praying for us. I have prayed that your faith fail not. And the Savior's prayers are always answered. We can take great comfort in this. When others forget to pray for us. When others have other things to pray about and pray for, they forget to mention us. The Lord never forgets. We're always on his mind. We're always upon his heart. Our names are engraved in the palms of his hands. And when the devil is concocting some plan to destroy us, our witness and our testimony, Know this, Jesus is praying for us. And that's the part we'll deal with, God willing, tonight. That's the better part. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we come to Thee in the Saviour's name. How we thank Thee, we have a praying Saviour. How we thank Thee, we have a praying High Priest. How we thank Thee, we have a praying Friend. One who ever liveth to make intercession for us. O Lord, I thank Thee today for praying for me. I thank Thee, Lord, for staying the hand of the evil one. I thank Thee, Lord, for protection, for hedging us about with Thy prayers. Praise Thy name. But Lord, we know there are many today and they don't have such a companion, such a friend. They're at the mercy of the devil. They're at the mercy of Satan, and we know that Satan shows no mercy. O Lord, I pray that Thou would bring such under the blood today. Get them under the protection of the blood and save their souls for time and eternity.